Well, it's a great delight to have all these folks with us. Of course, I think everybody knows Kenny Baldwin. And we know now where he got all his training and everything from his brother Michael, and he's helped him out. Good. But Kenny, you just can't describe him. If you try. I remember when he was a kid, and I was preaching up in that part of the world, and I had somebody tell me, he said, there's no sense in trying to think you can win if you play in a basketball game when they have him on their team. And they said, well, there's no sense in thinking you could win in the academics and fine arts competition when he's participating in it. And there's no sense in thinking you could win when he's in the preaching contest with other kids. And, you know, I thought, well, why don't you kill him or something, you know, if he's tearing you up everywhere. The thrilling thing to me is to see him growing in the Lord, amen, moving forward. And he's about to take on a bigger challenge because his dad is placing the reins of the pastorate into his hands. And God will have to give him a special anointing for that. Now, he's an anointed preacher, no doubt about it. But the shepherd has to have that from the Lord. And I'm confident that he'll believe God for it, and God will touch him and use him. And we just want to keep praying for all these men. You know, I feel like when I'm praying for them, I'm standing with them in whatever God's given them to do. I can be there with them. And anywhere in the world they are, we can be with them as we're praying for them, going to the throne of grace for them. He's going to come and preach in just a moment. And Alan Campster is going to sing for us. Alan, everybody loves their grandchildren. This is Dr. Hudson's grandson. And I didn't have a better friend in this world, especially for the last 15 years of your granddaddy's life. I think you know that.
Amen.
And he was such an encouragement to me. And he loved all you kids more than you will ever imagine. And he still lives. Amen. Just like Paul wrote to the Thessalonica Christians there, Thessalonian Christians, he said, we will live as long as you stand. So you're keeping him alive, and others are keeping him alive, and his testimony alive.
Amen.
And so I know that means a great deal to all of us, doesn't it? God bless you, son, as you sing, Brother Tenney, as he comes to preach.
Thank you for that.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that lies before me, it may lead through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered by his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know tomorrow, and I know who about tomorrow. I don't seem to understand.
Take a piece of paper and write down amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Alan. Alan is a friend of mine. I appreciate the message and song, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And aren't you glad we can know who holds our hand? I appreciate, Dr. Sexton, the opportunity to be here and the privilege to stand in your pulpit. Thank the Lord for what God is doing here at Temple Baptist Church and Crown College. And in this meeting for the cause of Christ, there's really one cause we have, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. And I thank God for that cause. I thank God for allowing me to have a part in it and for the joy to be here, and certainly your hospitality, your kindness. Brother Crichton is just always such a great host to us. We thank God for him and for his love and his benevolence to us, and for the joy to be here, for all the preaching that we've heard, and all the things that God has done thus far. What a joy it is to serve the Lord. And I do thank God for it. I'm glad my family is here, my parents and my brother, his wife and family, my youth pastor, his wife, and friends of COBA, and so many of my heroes here. Thank you for your stand for the Lord, what you've meant to me. I would not be here were it not for you, and I'm so grateful for your investment in my life. I appreciate the message, Dr. Toole. I appreciate your friendship. And the Bible works, doesn't it? Thank God for your preaching the Bible. Looking forward to gleaning more in the next few moments. Acts chapter 5, if you would, for the reading of God's word. And if you would, stand to your feet with me as we'll read from the book of Acts chapter number 5. And for sake of time, let's jump right into it. In verse number 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hang on a tree. Him God hath exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses, his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to heart and took counsel to slay them. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege and joy an opportunity we have to gather around the word of God today. Lord, we thank you for the joy of serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I do ask God today that you take me as your vessel. You'll cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with thy Holy Spirit that I might preach of thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Make a difference. We don't need just to be stirred. We need to be changed. Bind Satan, put a hedge of protection about this place. Do what you want to do in this service today. We want to delight in what you have for us. Make a difference and bless the remainder of this day, this conference, and our work here on this earth. Bless now, I pray, and my wife and children while I'm gone. And Lord, I do pray you meet with us in this time. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ made this statement, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ builds the church? Amen. He started the church. It started with him. It began with him. It is sustained with him. He said, The gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. He wasn't talking about an organization. He wasn't just talking about an assembly. He was talking about an organism that's alive, that's moving, that's vibrant. And he gave the promise that the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. Here in the book of Acts, we see the church personified and progressing and moving forward. We see in the book of Acts, as these 120 are waiting for the Holy Ghost that Jesus had promised, and in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God comes down and that great phenomenon of Pentecost takes place. And Peter, who not long ago had denied Christ and went off cursing in the sight of others because of his identification with Jesus, now has gotten his act together and he's preaching. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people get saved and 3,000 people get baptized and 3,000 people get added to this thing called the church. I wonder if they remembered on Pentecost the words of Jesus, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. In Acts chapter 2, this man gets healed right there at the temple, and he was lame from his birth, and yet after the healing of God gets on him, he begins to leap and to run, and differences happening in the lives of people, and the religious crowd doesn't like it, and they begin to question these men, and upon questioning them, they're unlearned men and ignorant men. They're not qualified by the world standards, but the Bible said they took knowledge of them. Now they had been with Jesus. They've been around that Jesus guy. There's a boldness and a fire and an unction and an anointing about them. You just can't get off the marketplace. You can't get in the local store. You can't get from the religious crowd. They got this from Jesus. I wonder if they remember the words of Christ, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This church is moving. People are getting saved. People are getting baptized. They're being added to the church. In Acts chapter 4, even more people are getting saved. And now they're getting so excited, they're selling their properties and they're using the money that's been made from their land and they're bringing it before the apostles' feet and using it for the work of God. Isn't it amazing when folks get so on fire for God that they'll sell their land, they'll avail their finances, they'll lay down all of their resources so that the work of God may go on. I reckon they could hear the words of Jesus resounding in their ears, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Picture it moving and driving and thriving and progressing and going on for God. They're selling lands and bringing money to the apostles' feet. And in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira tried to get in on this thing. But they got in deceit and under false pretense. And just because you jump into something good, if you jump into something good for something bad, you're going to be exposed. Peter was waiting for him, and Peter was waiting for her. And of course, they died right there trying to make a mockery out of God. And of course, fear came upon the people. This thing called the church, it's not a joke. It's not a social club. It's not a masseuse parlor. It's not a gang. It's not a party. It's not a get together. It's something that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's moving forward. In Acts chapter 5, women are mentioned getting saved. Multitudes are getting saved. Jesus has given us numbers in Acts 1, 120. In Acts 3, 3,000. In Acts 4, 5,000. In Acts 5, quit counting anymore. He just called it multitude. Folks are getting saved. Folks are getting healed. Lives are getting changed. And the religious crowd had a problem with it. They grab a hold of these folks and lock them up and throw them into prison. But God had other plans. Amen. Aren't you glad God has other plans? The angel of the Lord comes at night and opens those doors and brings them forth and gives them a very clear order. Go stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life. And of course, they did just that. But when those that had locked them up came back to look for them and they found a still secure prison and they found guards that were still watching over that prison, yet they couldn't find any prisoners. Think about that. And all of a sudden they go looking. Surely we locked it it up. Surely we place guards in front of it. Surely these folks should be here, but we can't find them till somebody told somebody, those boys you locked up, they're in the temple, they're preaching and they're teaching. So quietly they begin to go grab these guys, quietly, very privately, not to make a scene, not to stir up any strife, and bring them now before this council. And the high priest begins to interrogate them. Didn't we tell you plainly what you're supposed to be doing? Were you confused as to what we told you you were not supposed to be doing? We don't quite understand why you're still teaching in his name and why you are filling Jerusalem with your doctrine and trying to accuse us of crucifying your Savior. Now, here was their chance, wasn't it? Here was their chance to cower under pressure. Here was their chance to back down to the intimidation. Here was their chance to give in to the threats. Here was their chance to retire on God's agenda. Here was their chance to skirt away from their very clear and very direct mission. If it had been the average one of us, in the face of the religious elite, in the face of those who held the greatest authority in the land, in the presence of the intimidation and the threats and the thrashing and the potential torture that would be due us for disobeying the leaders of the land, most of us would have backed down. But I'm here to tell you, they didn't back down, they didn't back up, they didn't give in, they didn't give out, they didn't give up, they didn't put up, they didn't shut up. They looked at those straight slam in the face and said, you've got to understand something. There's a higher power than you. There's a higher authority than you. There's a higher court we've got to stand in front of. There's more in our minds than just the court of public opinion or the religious crowd that seems to try to intimidate us with their threats and with their torture and with their potential dismay. You've got to understand something. There's a God who sits high and a God who looks low. And although you may say what you say and threaten how you threaten, we got to obey God rather than man. And beloved, if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in what the world is saying and what other people are saying and what public opinion is saying. I wish you wouldn't say that. I wish you wouldn't talk about that. I wish you wouldn't come with that. I wish you wouldn't preach on that. I wish you wouldn't challenge us on that. I wish you wouldn't talk about that. I wish you wouldn't act like that. I wish you wouldn't do that. I wish you wouldn't be that. And it amazes me how many of us have cowered under the threats and become intimidated by the torture and become scared by what might happen and what they think and what they can do and the power that they have and the words that they're saying and the intimidation that they're sending our way. But could I tell you this morning, whether you're pastoring in Podunk or the thriving metropolis of a big town, whether you got 5, 50, or 5,000 in your church, whether you're on staff or whether you just work in a bus route, whether you feel like everybody likes you or nobody knows you, whether you're the authority in your circle or whether nobody knows your name, at the end of the day, there's still somebody that we answer to and somebody that we look to and somebody that we're accountable to and somebody that we must honor and we must praise and we must live. I'm saying, go back home, preach that gospel, stand in that church, lead that movement, reach that crowd, tell those about Jesus, because at the end of the day, we ought to obey God rather than man. There's a God we serve. And him alone, we must obey. Boy, they gave the right answer, didn't they? Man, it's the answer we so often fail to give. Why are you going to obey God rather than man? Well, I'm glad you asked this morning. Number one, because of the Son that was sent. The Son that was sent. Hey, why are you dropping that tough talk on us, high priest? Let me tell you about what God did. God looked at a lost and dying world, plunged in sin, And when there was no rose red enough, and there was no lamb white enough, and there was no man good enough, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Notice what he said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. You see, when this Jesus came, he left his splendor. He was due what was in heaven. He had all the glory, the magnanimity, and the majesty that heaven affords, but he left the glories of heaven and walked on this wicked world with us on his mind. He left the splendor. Why? Because he loved the sinner. Scarcely for a righteous man some would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I wish I had time to remind you where you came from, but you just think about it in your own mind. When God found you, you weren't looking for him. He was looking for you. He didn't find you in your glory and in your honor and in your good and in your favor. He found you wallowing around in the muck and mire of depravity and debauchery, yet his lovely hand reached down into your drunken stupor and into your mess of a life and said, even though you ain't looking like much and you don't seem like you're that big, I love you anyhow. He left the splendor. He loved the sinner. He let them slaughter. They killed him. No, he gave up the ghost. Aren't you glad even though he let them slaughter, he lives as supreme? Excuse me, check the record books. He got up. Amen. I said he got up. I said he got up. I mean, he didn't stay dead. That's what I'm saying. I mean, they beat him and they bruised him and they brutalized him, but he got up. Amen. I'm saying the stone was rolled away not to let him out, but so they could see he was gone. Amen. I'm saying he got up. He rose again with resurrection power. I'm saying he lives today. I'm saying he leads as sovereign. I'm saying we don't serve dead Muhammad. We don't serve fat Buddha. We don't serve his mama Mary. We don't serve the Pope. We don't serve the priest. We don't serve man. We don't serve a cow that used to be our grandmother. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm saying he got up and rose again with resurrection power. He lives today as Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last, Lily of the Valley, bright and morning star, fairest of 10,000 to our soul, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Lamb of Glory, Lion of Judah, way, truth, resurrection, the life, the amen, the faithful and true witness, Star of David, Star of Bethlehem, Rose of Sharon, Star of Judah, Adonai, El Shaddai, Elohim, the rock of my salvation, my only firm foundation. He's a faithful friend who will not change. He's the cornerstone who remains the same. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, immutable. He can't change. Eternal he was, he is, and he is to come. He's my salvation, my sanctification, my rectification, my reconciliation, my propitiation, my justification, my glorification for each and every nation. I'm telling you, he's Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisei, my banner, Jehovah Ra'ah, my shepherd, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, Jehovah Shalom, my peace, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who's present, Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord who is my righteousness. I want you to know he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. He's the King of knowledge, the wellspring of wisdom, the doorway of deliverance, the pathway of peace, the highway of holiness, the roadway of righteousness, the master of the mighty, the head of the heroes, the leader of legislators, the overseer of overcomers, the governor of governors, the prince of princes, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. The heaven of heavens can't contain them, let alone a smart man explain them. You can't get them out your hands. You can't get them off your mind. You can't outlive them, and you sure can't live without them. The Pharisees couldn't stump them. Pilate couldn't find a fault in them. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill them. Death couldn't hell them, and the grave could not hold them. There's been nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. He had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. You can't impeach Jesus, and he ain't going to resign. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. Tough talk if you please. Threaten us if you please. Challenge us if you please. Beat us if you please. But when God sent Jesus, we found out one thing. We all obey him and not you. The son that was sent, the salvation of their souls. Wait a minute now. They talked all about this Jesus and all he did when he came. And then right after that said, we're his witnesses. Watch this now. All that stuff we said he did and he is, guess what? We didn't read about it. We experienced it. We're not telling you what we heard. We're telling you what he did in us. Oh, yeah, we wandered in sin. We were throwing that net into the Sea of Galilee and catching fish that would be dead, eaten, and gone. Until one day, the man woke up and said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And when we wandered in sin, he walked up, and we welcomed the Savior. For 3.5 years, we walked by his side. On Calvary, we watched as he was slain. In a room, we wept in sorrow. But through those doors that were closed, we saw him, and we witnessed the supernatural. And today, by his grace, we work as his servants. You know why you ought to obey the world? You know why you ought not let that crowd in your town tell you what to preach on? Because who was it that saved you? Who was it that called you? Who was it that redeemed you? Who was it that walks with you and talks with you and loves on you and takes care of you? Not them, him. Amen. We ought to obey God. God rather than man. Why? We're saved. Amen. The Bible is not some mere recollection of events. The Bible is a clear rendition of experience. We've walked with him. Peter said, look, listen. I watched him spit in clay and heal a blind man. I watched him send devils in some swine. I watched a stinking 4-day-old dead man get up and walk. Lazarus, come forth. And thank God he said Lazarus, because if he just said come forth, every dead man would have got up. Amen. We saw him. We got on a boat that was rocking and rumbling, and he got on and said 3 words, and that thing shut down. You think we're going to listen to you? You've been on that boat where we were, you'd be preaching in the temple with us. Think we have nothing else to do? We found the Messiah. Salvation of their souls. The Son that was sent. Thirdly, the Spirit that speaks. Hey, we're not the only one witnessing. The Holy Ghost is too. Did you hear me? The Holy Ghost is too. The Spirit's talking. Talking. And by the way, you say I speak a different language. He knows yours. The Spirit's talking. You know what he does? You know what he talks? He indicts the sinner. He tells you when you're wrong. You know why we're not going to hush? Because you say hush, folks. Because the Holy Spirit will hem us up. You're going to beat us, but when he whoops us, we can't handle that. He indicts the sinner. Watch this now. He indwells the saint. Amen. Aren't you glad that you're not tearing for the Holy Ghost? That the moment you got saved, you got him. And aren't you glad you're not trying to get more of him? But bless God, he's trying to get more of you. Amen. He indicts the sinner. He indwells the saint. He introduces the Savior. The Holy Ghost witnesses. Aren't you glad that Jesus said, when that Holy Ghost comes, that Comforter comes, he shall not speak of himself, but he shall speak of me. If anybody ever tells you that the Holy Ghost talks and he doesn't talk about Jesus, he may be a ghost, but he ain't the Holy One. Because this Holy Spirit speaks of Christ. We ought to obey God rather than men. Lastly, and I'm done. The Son that was sent, the salvation of their souls, the Spirit that speaks, and lastly, the success that was sure. Whew. Old Gamaliel steps up, a doctor of the law. Got some clout with him. These ignorant guys talking, no one will pay them any mind. Here come the doctor talking. He makes an undeniable point that he stated. He said, you know, I remember Thutis. Thutis got up boasting himself to be somebody. Have you ever met somebody that boasted to be somebody and was the only one that knew he wasn't? Didn't know he was not, amen? Both Thutis got up talking about himself, establishing his own agenda. As a matter of fact, got him a crowd too. They ain't last. Judas got up, tried the same thing, got him a crowd. He didn't last. Oh, Gamaliel said, hey, if these boys are phonies, they won't last either. However, if they for real, it don't do you any good to mess with them. You can't bring them down anyway. Hey, watch this. You know why we're going to obey God rather than men? Because when you're on God's side, you can't lose. Amen. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? A whole lot of people, but they can't win. The undeniable point that was stated. Notice the unfair punishment that was sentenced. They decided to release him, but they beat him. Sometimes doing right will still get you beat. Laugh at you. Criticize you. Run you down. Slander your character. Hey, it comes with the territory. That's how they did our Savior. In spite of the undeniable point that was stated and the unfair punishment that was sentenced, I want you to notice the unbelievable praise that was shouted. The Bible said after getting beaten unfairly, after getting whipped unjustly, they departed from the presence of the council, not singing the blues, not down in the dumps of despair, not whining and blowing snot into Kleenex, rejoicing that they were worthy. They counted worthy to suffer shame if they beat you, if they lie on you, if they talk about you, if they run you down. Take your Bible and wave it in the air and say, I'm still glad I'm suffering for his sake. And the unstoppable proclamation that was sounded, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Look what he said. We're going to go to our next meeting still feeling the wounds that you placed on us. And preach anyhow. You may come to this meeting in a pity party. Lick your wounds and go back to town under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. They're not going to always embrace us. They're not going to always understand us. They're not going to always agree with us from without or within. I was telling Brother Toole this morning, one thing I respect about Dr. Sexton is when he believes he gets something from God, he's going for it regardless of what anybody says. I appreciate that. But you know what? If you're waiting for the wind to blow and the rain to come and for everybody to put up a banner and say, we love you and we're glad you're here, don't hold your breath because you might pass out. But if you're looking for the upward one saying, this is what I say, if you're preaching the gospel, if you're standing for God, and God knows when you do what you're doing of this magnitude. Some people don't like it. Some people criticize it. They may say things. They may write notes. They may have their own opinions. But at the end of the day, they're not your justifier. They're not your judge. They're not your ruler. They're not your redeemer. They're not your king. They're not your God. God doesn't need help. God doesn't need assistance. God doesn't need innovation. God doesn't need advice. God's not flabbergasted, run amok, bamboozled, perplexed, stressed out, confused, or in disarray. The last time I checked, he owns the cattle of a thousand hills. All the gold and silver belong to him. There's nothing too hard for him. He's the same yesterday, today. Have this meeting. Reach the gospel. Support missionaries. Run those bus routes. Stay in that Sunday school class. Give to that missions money. Have those missions conference. Stay in Bible college. Because at the end of the day, we ought to obey God rather than man. Our Father, I bless your name, for you're worthy to be praised. I honor you today that in spite of me, not because of me, in spite of me, you still rule and you still reign. Oh God, the threat and the pressure and the intimidation of our day as the church moves forward and progresses and does what you so clearly commission us to do. That pressure is more real and stronger and more legitimate than any words I could say in these brief moments. But God, just as real as the threats are, you are. You rule, you reign, and you're in charge. And may we leave this meeting with a more renewed commitment and a more definite stand that despite what we face when we get out the car, off the bus, off the plane, or back to our churches, we're determined We ought to obey God rather than man. We give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.